Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off Podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah,
you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hairdistry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Your Day Off Podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, welcome to your day off. My name is Corey. And of course, well, actually, I'm not. I'm sitting here at Premier Orlando, and I'm missing out on my boy today because he's in Iceland. So if anybody wants to like email him or text him and just tell him he should be here, and he shouldn't be in Iceland. He should be with his best friend. That would be very, very cool. But so what the plan is for this weekend at Premier is that we're going to do a bunch of roundtable conversations. So we've brought in some of our friends from past podcasts and just people that we love to hang out with. So they're going to, we're going to kind of do like round table conversation. Today, I'm really excited to work with Mr. Christopher Benson because he always brings the shit at these shows and we're always look forward to seeing you. Chris, man, welcome.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. How are you?
How does Tony's seat feel?
More than comfortable.
hey, Tony, if you're listening in, I know you're listening in.
Chris, more than comfortable.
Chris says that you're not going to get your seat back, so you guys got the wrestler. You have to like, he can promise
take
you
over the main stage. He can take that. We'll switch for a weekend.
Oh my god, that would be the dopest thing ever.
Listen, I can't wait till the team's ready to like next year. I'm telling you, they're going to take it over. I'm going to sit in the audience and watch.
That's what's up.
You've been saying that for a couple years, though, Chris.
Well, we're finally getting them to a point of ready to go. So
that's awesome. Time. What's going on this weekend?
We got main stage going on. We have a photo shoot that's going to be going on the show floor just to really elevate what's going on in the industry and just try and give people insight on how we approach stuff and to share knowledge, I think, is the biggest thing. And as many places we can shine a light on people as well. And so we're going to do an underground event, which will be super cool. We have 40 artists coming.
Whoa.
Yeah, so
that's like every artist here then.
I mean, honestly, it's cool because we started with some really cool local people being here in Orlando, and we'll start with them being community first and base it right here, and we start with that and build it up to what we call our legends and icons and our amazing educators who support the industry. So
is it going to be more like a presentation thing or more like a like an actual education event?
No, I'd
a lot
say
of teaching
more,
or just like
no,
show?
No, more show. Definitely
that's
more
awesome.
Show.
That's awesome.
I mean, if anybody knows what we wrap a pretty wild production, and we definitely went all out for this one with the people coming in. I think just out of respect, we want to give them an amazing creative space to just go for it.
I think it's really cool where the industry is right now because, and we talked about this a couple of years ago because you actually went up with Sam during yeah. Here at Premier during COVID. It's just kind of cool to kind of watch like, it's back to the industry. It's back to the hairstylist, and a little bit less industry and more hairdressers. And it's really cool to watch people stand on stage together from, you know, different brands or whatever. And that's not what's being, you know, elevated. It's actually the artistry and the artists that are being elevated.
Yeah. I think there's definitely a change that's happening. I think the artists are definitely valuing what they do and how they do it and who they do it with. And I think they should. And I think that, you know, there's nothing wrong. It's great working with brands. It's how you work with them and it's how they work back with you. And I think it's got to be something that works in synergy together. And it can be a beautiful thing, but you don't always have to work for the brand to work with a brand. And I think there's a lot of ways to go about it. So
that's very well said. So again, we're at Premier and you know, we brought Chris in to talk to, but really we brought Chris in just so we could talk to some of his friends. So Chris is always, as he said before, he's got the coolest friends in the industry and our guest today, I'm particularly excited to chat with, mm-hmm. Our guest. Oh, I'm going to mess it up again. Ira
Pope
Sage. Got it. No, I didn't. Thanks for the assist there. Ira Pope Sage is here, and I got to watch him work. I've been following him on Instagram, but I actually got to watch him work a little bit in Chicago, and like he's just such a great educator, such a delight to be in the room with. And you know, thank you for that, Ira, first off. But dude, welcome to your day off.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. How'd you guys meet?
I think, I mean, we've chased each other around the world at different standpoints, and I think it's just a mutual respect for seeing what each other did. And I think as CBC came about, it just got time to start asking some of these artists to come and do it on a bigger level, unbranded about the art, and create space that we can do it together. And it doesn't have to be for a brand, but again, brands I think can be involved and support it and support the art. So I think it's just how it's set up and how everybody knows it's, you know, going to be taken care of, look after the artists that are coming in. And so we collaborate with DJ, and you know, Ira is always somebody that I've respected and what his craft is. And I think the beautiful thing was, is I've always known him, he's always been great, but when we got him in the back room, just the energy and who he is and the way he presents himself, my team just fell in love with him. So he can't get away from us now.
Oh, you're stuck, bro.
I like it. It's good place to be stuck at.
You're stuck. That's so cool. Where are you from, Ira?
From Michigan. Made in the Philippines, born in Michigan.
All right, made in the Philippines. All right, you can't throw that out there.
Well, my father military.
Uh-huh.
So that's where that happened, apparently. That's where that seed was dropped, apparently there. And so made there and then born here.
So where in Michigan?
Grand Rapids area. Greenville, technically, but Grand Rapids area.
Nice. I don't, like, we have so many artists from Michigan, you know? And then, you live in Michigan now?
I live in Las Vegas now. Ooh. I moved to Las Vegas in 1999.
1999.
Yep. To join the Robert Chromian Salon team.
Oh, that's so awesome. We love Robert, man. Are you still there, Robert Chromian?
So I was with them and Paul Mitchell, all that crew, until 2012, 2013.
Uh-huh.
And then went independent from there.
And then are you like in a studio suite?
So now I am, yes, in a booth rent, basically. Yep. So not studio, I'm in open space, basically.
Right. And then Does Kelly have a salon there too, or is it just Robert?
Or did Kelly Cardenas?
Cardenas,
he did before. He did before. He no longer does. I believe last I heard, Kelly sold all of his salons, minus the one salon that they have in Carlsbad that is like a live-in workspace.
Right.
And I think he's just doing motivational speaking stuff now.
Yeah, I read that he's out of the industry completely. I just wasn't sure if they still had his name on it or anything like that.
I think he sold all. There. All of it, I think.
I know Brooklyn's still doing some stuff with Paul Mitchell as well, right?
Yep. And I think that's why they keep that space, that live-in workspace there in Carlsbad for Brooklyn, basically.
That makes sense.
Yep.
And have you worked with DJ before?
Yes. Odun?
We had him on the podcast last year, dude. We had a blast.
Yes, he's a good guy.
Because he worked with DJ.
He's actually my best friend.
Exactly.
So
we work and play a lot. Yeah, we've all the kinds of plays you can think of.
Nice.
you could do healthy-wise or not healthy-wise. We've done, basically. It's a good experience to have that friendship, for sure.
That's so cool. I love DJ, man. And actually, Chris, you introduced us to him last year as well, right here. Yep. Not in this room. This dude, they put us out in this room.
It's out here. It's far.
We had to take an Uber. You know,
basically. I'm like, am I still going the right way?
Electric scooters, Uber.
Yeah. Could have been a couple. Planes, trains, and automobiles.
Crumbs back, so you know which way to go back.
Right?
Oh my God, it's so crazy. Did you come up with like Robert and like that philosophy? So, I'm trying to just like get to where like what the philosophy is.
So for me, come up wise, I started cutting my own hair when I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to a salon when I was a younger kid and ask the beautiful hairdresser girl for a haircut. And I wanted at that point the white skater kid look.
Yeah.
So like long bangs and spiky on the part. And it would never quite turn out the way I wanted, but she'd be a beautiful girl. She asked me if I liked it. I smiled. Thank you, beautiful girl. And then go home and cut into myself. And after about the third time of doing that, I decided to start cutting my hair from the beginning to the end myself. And then I moved from being in the white kid skater look into more black kid, cool shapes and Bobby Brown Gumby haircuts and Johnny Gill bi-levels, all that kind of stuff, and putting graffiti into my head, like football helmet with my number in it and the jump sign and the Nike symbol. And I would just two-side tape on.
Whoa. You were doing this on yourself?
On myself. But I would draw it on a piece of paper that wasn't almost like a business card. Wasn't as soft as paper, wasn't as hard as cardboard, business card fabric. Two-side tape it, stick it on my head, stencil, and cut all around it.
See?
It was so simple.
Then it comes up with so simple.
Mm-hmm. I mean, back then, I don't know that I could do that today simply, but it was fearless and I didn't know any different then.
So right.
I just did it, and I had the mirror set up where the two would open up this way and then one mirror on the door so I could see everything. And then also, I'm very... I got a lot of sensitive things, and having hair clippings on my skin would drive me batty. So then I could just immediately shower right afterwards too. So that whole sensitivity was deleted with that as well.
That's amazing. Did you do other art as well?
Not really. I wouldn't really grow up much of a art kid. I was more of a jock kid more than an art kid, really. Yeah, I didn't really have any forms of arts. I never, for a long time, I never considered myself much of a artist type hairdresser. Not until just maybe 5-10 years ago that I start to see that, okay, I guess I do have a sense of art in me. I thought I was kind of robotic for a long time. I realized, especially social media helped to show me that, okay, I guess I am different than some other hairdressers, and there is a, I appreciate what I do, and I know not everyone appreciates what I do, and I can definitely see and watch if someone else reposts my stuff. Sometimes there's so much hatred towards my stuff that lets me know I'm definitely more on the art side. I'm definitely for making me happy, number one, making my client, whoever I'm working on, happy, number two, and that's it.
Yep.
Right. 2/3 for me, 1/3 for them. And that's all I focus on, basically. So, and in that, I'm looking to create like a character and a feeling, which as soon as it comes to feeling, that exists in the art world.
It is so shocking to me that you said that you didn't see, you weren't art first, because when you look at your page, that's all I see.
Thank you.
You know, that's all I see. And then like, I'm blown away by it, and I'm blown away by like, it's hard to talk about with it. You can't actually see it, the visual, but like as elfy and as pixie-ish as it is, like it all works so well to me. And like the shape is there and the weight is there. Like when you're doing like those inside shapes with the, like, especially like the long tentacle type stuff, mm-hmm. like to hold that shape all the way through is so difficult to do. And to watch you do it, I'm blown away and admire it. I mean, all the words that you can say about it, just the weight's perfect, and like both like vertically and horizontally perfect. It's just amazing.
Thank you. Disconnection makes a big difference on big disconnection and offsetting the head. To be,
what do you mean about offsetting the head?
So offsetting it, basically putting the shortest length at the widest area of the head. So off balancing that, basically, and to be able to, and those specific ones that you're saying, I use more of a. In my world, I use more of a at noon disconnection. So traditional disconnections in my world would be a below noon disconnection. The bottom is all short. The top is long. Mm-hmm. That makes the shape smaller. Above noon disconnection, the top is all short. The bottom is long. So that makes the shape elongated and longer. I use, on that fairy elf model that you're talking about there, mm-hmm. I use a at noon disconnection. So it's the mid area is shortest, the top is longer, and the bottom's longer, so it becomes very flat-like in the back, and that's where that weight really holds itself. So the curvature of the head sits in there and fills in that, so it's very flat at the O-bone, and then I fill in the nape area as well with longer disconnection.
Well, I recommend everybody to go and look at this page, because it's just, the stuff he's doing is just like freakishly cool and freakishly good, you know, not just cool, but like really, really good too. Like it definitely gives those good vibes.
Appreciate
it's
that.
Technically just incredible the way he approaches hair, and I think you have a couple of things I want to capitalize. You are fearless. I love that you said that, because I think as we get into the industry, we are fearless and just will try anything. And I think that it's almost, you know, we go through this phase and then get back to it. And that's like the reflection I would give you is watching you over the years go through those phases of really technical, super craft, amazing at what you do. But now I see more of an artistry freedom. And just even when you said that about 5-10 years, and that's when I really noticed it, of like you really putting an expression to your signature. And I could definitely tell a difference of when you would see, you know, other work, and it, like when your stuff comes across, there's no question that's Iris.
Thank you. Music festivals changed my whole perspective on a lot of things. I had a lot of, I didn't even know that imposter syndrome existed, but most of the 2000s up until like 2015 area, I would say, I was very insecure on stage, always feeling like I shouldn't be there and blah, 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 all the things. And then DJ invited me to Coachella for the first time in 2010. And by 2015, I finally started to settle and realizing, looking at Coachella, every Coachella I'd go there, and I knew I'd come home with something that would change my perspective, change my life on what I think of things. And over time of it, I realized that oftentimes it would be some band at 1:30 on Sunday that I didn't even see on the lineup, because they're just this tiny little thing. And it's, I'm there for the big, massive font and the headliner, but it's a tiny little thing at 1:30 that made me realize this is why I needed to be here. This is the love I needed, and this just changed me. And I realized then that I don't need to be the headliner guy. I don't need to be the big fancy. I'm totally fine to be the little font at 1:30 and give all the love, because those people are the ones that are so excited for them to be there. The big headliners go all over the place. It's not quite the same kind of, it's more often likely not the same kind of emotion for them as it is the 1:30 band on Sunday.
Well, it's like, it's just another day at the office for the big fonts.
I think so.
Right?
I think so. Sometimes, at least I can sometimes feel that way as a person in the audience, which is, I'm sensitive to those things. But yeah, those things, I really like that true heart, just put it out there and give them, you know, giving it your all kind of thing.
That's amazing to me that was the inspiration to kind of break out, a part of the inspiration, but, you know, part, just even that you can even hold on to
just
what
so
that
many
was.
Different forms of artistry in that, you know, I mean, go to Coachella, you see DJs, you see rock bands, you see hip hop, you see so many varieties of form of music, and you can see that all of this is under the umbrella of music, but it touches so many different people. Just the same as a hair show, mm-hmm. there can be so many different incredible educators, and they could all touch different levels of education different way. And that's where I finally came comfortable with myself of realizing that I do, especially also with my clock cutting method that I put together, mm-hmm. That also helped me to feel, and I finally realized that the value that has, I guess.
It's a great word.
And that's given me, that's like my purpose of where I exist in my brain of purpose right now is to, I feel I have to show as many hairdressers as possible this clock cutting method, because it's a very simple approach for people to understand cutting hair. And for me, I know that since I've had that in my own brain, my conversation with myself whilst cutting hair is so much more comfortable now. I used to have a lot of uncomfortable conversation in my head, and especially with the imposter syndrome / even with just being in the salon with a client still having, like, if the hair all of a sudden flipped and I didn't intend for it to flip. It's so frustrating. Like, why is this flipping? And I didn't understand concave and convex properly yet.
Right.
Once I properly understood concave and convex, just like 5 years ago, well, then I finally now have pure comfort in my voice inside my head. I'm so much more calmed and relaxed. I don't feel like just a platform artist guy anymore. I'm much more comfortable being more of an educator guy than a platform artist guy. I have much less uncomfortable voices or heart rates that are anxiety filled like I used to.
That's beautiful, man, for real. It interesting on that too, like I know that a lot of people or a lot of you know artists that we've talked to, you know, they consider themselves educators, and like once they found their education voice, that's when everything took over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when their star rose or whatever. And like, I mean, we have friends that, you know, hate the word influencer, or hate the word, like, you know, platform artist or whatever, because all they want to be is an educator. Now, whatever stage that is that they're educating on, you know, makes them an influencer, makes them a platform artist, but not getting into it for that, you know. And it reminds me kind of like, or how I kind of talk about it in my own head is like early in the early 1990s, we had a lot of like Arturi brothers kind of like just on the platform, but what are we getting as an attendee, I guess is the best mm-hmm. way, or being in the audience. Like it was like, oh yeah, that's kind of neat. Especially being a young hairdresser, watching them, you know, slice
people,
you know, mm-hmm. slice eyebrows off unintentionally and stuff like that. But the industry's changed a lot in that there's education that comes around with it as well. You know?
Yeah.
I think it's gotten to a point where we had great flair. And then it got to a point where we needed to balance it with some technical. And I think it got super technical, super like it almost became the education class started to go to main stage. And I think that main stage should be inspiring, and it should be, you know, production. It should be fire. It should be, you know, seeing people jam together and create art together. And then in the classrooms is where you can really drive those messages and what people can take back to the salon in such a great. And I think both have such great value, because I remember seeing those shows and, you know, seeing you with Robert and doing the shows and just being inspired by the edge that was mm-hmm. ridden. And for me, that was super important to see of what could be pushed to the envelope, because then it makes you go, what can I do? Not copy, but what can I do at a different space and time? and create that space for others to do that. And I think that's the whole mission for what Ira does with what he does. And, you know, coming up with his own method, I think out of necessity for you to have that conversation outward and inward, I think is super powerful. And then what that brings to the industry, we need more people like that will take a chance on themselves and believe in themselves, but also be supported by the people around them. And I think that's
why
huge.
I'm so fortunate that I do have support of so many people. Yeah. And anyone that has had the opportunity to seen my method, they're like, oh, okay, that's a lot more. It's not so hokey pokey or kind of a gimmicky than what a lot of people may think it were without knowing at first. And then once they hear, okay, that's pretty solid stuff.
And it's straightforward. Like it's very straightforward. And I think, but if anybody had just the visual of what you do, there's no question there's an incredible technical aspect of what it is. You can't not look at that and go, damn. Yeah, there's no question, that. Bro. Thank there's you. Honestly, and the freedom that you go with now, I think is so beautiful because you do have that balance of, you know, just insane textures inside of what's going on. But there's still just that craftsman. And you just don't see a ton of that happening. And it's beautiful to see it happen.
I think that's the best word for it, right? Like just the craft and the craft, you being a craftsman of it. It's like, it is kind of, it's like when you watch someone like make a beautiful tabletop or like, I don't know about you guys, but like if I'm on Instagram or something, like if somebody's like, you ever get stuck on those videos of like old like lighters or old rusty things that people put back together?
I'm not
freaked out. Dude, it's not just lighters. It's anything. Uh-huh. It'll be like, I don't know. And usually metal because they kind of work with it. They clean and they restore it. And you're like, what the, you know, and then that comes back to me as like of this craft of how to do it. And this was, most of these products were made prior to like even that artist was alive. You know what I mean? Like, or old guns, old like handguns and stuff. And I'm like, I'm blown away by just that craft, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, and I think that's why it resonates with me to watch your work. Cause I think if you were to just, if you're not a hairstylist, I guess, and you're just looking at it from the outside, I think it looks wild. It looks crazy. I'm sure that's some of the responses that you get on social media about it. But if you understand hairdressing and you've been around it for a minute, you go, damn, that's solid shit there, man.
I appreciate
that. And like, and I think that's what I was going back even about, like how perfect the weight is situated on the hair. I mean, that's done with craft. That's not done with an artistic eye. You know, that's done with like knowing what the F you're doing.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah. Having a relationship with the head shape.
Exactly.
A lot. Yep.
And the person.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
And I watch knowing you very much them. Cut to them is very much when I watch you do your stuff on social. I mean, it's, you can just see, you look at their face, you look at what's going on, you break it down, and you can see it. I mean, if you can see it over social, you can imagine what the classes are in person, and you can see the response.
With all these crazy haircuts that I do, I have very few tears.
Oh.
It's a very open conversation ahead of time. It's very clear.
Has to be, right? Yeah. It has to be. Yeah. You're going to go down that line, right?
Exactly. The tears are from all of us other hairdressers that are watching you do it. Golly, man. How do you work this out, man?
And I've been to plenty of hair shows where people were doing haircuts not quite as extreme as me, but they had tears. That,
They
didn't have that proper relationship, that proper communication with them. They weren't as humanly connected.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we see that all the time, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a disservice to have these models come in and then like, you know, blast their hair out without that conversation.
Correct.
Right. Like that's kind of like, I guess that's kind of where I was with the Arturi brothers. Like nobody agreed to this.
Yeah. You can definitely get that feeling sometimes.
You know, like nobody agreed to this. And that just kind of feels gross to me, as an industry. And I think it's one of those things that we need to do, that we should do better. But I think we're kind of getting there because I'm definitely seeing like, you guys are going to disagree, but that's okay. But I definitely see like that ego from 10 years that was so dominant in our industry. I kind of see that moving on. I think that because of the craft and because of there's so many artists in the space now, I think that, I don't know necessarily if that those big over the top egos, the ego's bigger than the talent. I don't think we're seeing that quite as much. I think that people are being leveled up.
I agree with you, I think, personally.
Yeah, I don't think that.
Aside from Chris's ego.
I don't think, which is terribly huge. No, I think it just doesn't exist because I think the vibration of what we hold is humility. I think, you know, the true masters of what's going on at the craft don't even call themselves masters because they're always learning.
Yeah.
And I think that it's approached different and, you know, not good, bad, or indifferent, but it's like I see on social media, you know, 2 years out of the business, I'm a master colorist, and you can put anything. You can write anything. You can put anything. And I mean, my teachers would have crushed me for writing or putting something like that or calling yourself something right. like that, right? So we kind of came in that same era of, like, you better be really good at what you're going to do. You better be humble about how you go about it. But I think there comes a point where you also have to be confident and go, what do I have to share? And I think that's where the industry is humbly with each other. And I don't think it's the idea of pitting, you know, I don't think that ever really existed with artists. I think it was more, some of that shit existed with brands and you can't work with so-and-so and you can't work with so-and-so. And,
yeah.
You know, that's our, not our tribe.
But hold on, Chris. Because like we had... Yeah, again, I'm going back to like probably like early alts or like, you know, late 90s and stuff. But, you know, we had four major brands in the industry and you were a part of that, you know. No. But and within those four brands, we only had four spaces. Mm. There was only four artists that were working, that were touring. I mean, this is no shade, by the way, but just as an example, like I would go to an Awella event. And it was always the Doves that were up there representing it. And that's no shade at all. Sure. It's just where the industry was. You know, I mean, Sam was always representing for Redken. That was where it was. So everybody that's fighting for a position or everybody that's fighting for that spotlight, it can get ugly. And by the way, and with my experience, and Chris, you've been in that space longer than I have, it's never the guys that are standing on top that had the attitude. It was always the ones fighting to get there that we always got, that you always get like, oh, why are you being shitty?
And marketing.
Or the sun.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Shit. I'm not touching that one.
Yeah, I did. Anyway, yeah, let's back up.
Get it, baby.
but that's that. You know, there was. I think that there was a lot of that tension and stuff because. But now, you know, like Andy Warhol said, everybody's getting their 15 minutes. You know, and I think, you know, not everybody excels in that 15 minutes.
Or can fill that 15 minutes. Yeah, I think you can't fill that 15 minutes.
Well, yeah. I think credibility. I think what, you know, the new black for me is credibility, authenticity, transparency. Everybody's had shit. Everybody's had a bad day. It's how you pick yourself up. It's what you do with it. It's how you can share it with somebody. It's what you can save time with. I think... when people can have that connection, like what you talk about, Ira, that human connection, for me, that was what resonates in reality to people. And that's why I think things go well for those that choose to do it that way. Instead of trying to be the egomania, I just don't see that is resonating in our industry right now. And I'm not saying there's not people with egos. You have to have an ego to do this. Sure. In some senses, you have to. But it's what you do with that ego. It's, can you be humble enough to go, Ira, I want you to come to fill the spot on the stage that we have and you cut instead of me cutting and I'll host and, you know, to have that humility.
Let's try to put black on Ira.
Yeah. It was black and white, Ira. Okay,
whatever it is. Take your color off, bro. Yeah,
the artist formerly known.
This could turn totally sideways. It's black and white.
I'll get it someday. Oh, my God. But I think for a positive side of social media, yeah. I think social media has actually deleted a lot of the egos.
Correct.
Because I agree
even
completely.
Even though social media isn't all truth, you still get to see truth of what that person can or can't do.
Correct.
Mm.
And now we all know that, okay, that person swings regularly. It's not just this weekend. And maybe you do a hair show and you don't do a great haircut. And it's not, oh, that person sucks, because you see them regularly doing great haircuts or great colors. And you see people from all over the world doing incredible haircuts. So I think that definitely puts a little bit more modesty into people's mindsets.
Well, that's where I was going to go with, like, I didn't realize until social media really took off, I didn't realize how many killers there were across this country.
So many.
Right, like, shit. Yeah. Like, and who's this Ira dude?
Around I mean, there's amazing talent in the U.S. and but globally as well. I think social media shines, you know, that. And I think there is definitely a modesty because you see what work is going on out there and you got to level up to it, which we should be.
Yep.
I also think the thing about social media is people come out with these new things that they think is new. And you're like, have you looked at the history of hair? Because... Yeah. Wow, there are some incredible people that have done some incredible things that I don't think you realize has actually already been done. Maybe just a little tweak to some of this. But I think you got to give, you know, and that's the sad part for me is I think we need to do a better job just as like us as keeping some of those names and some of those people, as I would hope that some of, you know, some of the future does with our names and what we've brought to the industry, but the Sassoons, the Trevor Sorbys, the Lobettas, you know, the Chromings, the different people that have done wild stuff that made people thought provoke. And that for me is a disruption in a great form that doesn't hurt anybody, but makes people think in a little different manner. And then you choose what you do with it, how commercially viable you want to do or how edge you want to do, but you have the choice. It's let's inspire people to do something different for a change, mm-hmm. man. Mm-hmm. You know?
And hopefully that difference is make yourself happy.
Yeah,
that's it. Mm.
That's the most important thing with hairdressing or life. Yeah. Make yourself happy and accept where you're at, and maybe not accept fully, but accept and adapt at least mm-hmm. to where you're at and overcome the whole Marine thing there, I think. I think people don't always know what they want or don't always know what's going to make them happy. And so they're running on aimlessly, not really knowing. Mm-hmm. And not really finding, like some people I hear them, they like even with social media, they post to try to find what people are going to like. And I'm like, oh, what are you doing that for? Don't do that. Post what you like. Mm-hmm. Like, don't try to, someone just yesterday told me that, and to each their own, but just told me they're trying to post to make people in the Midwest happy. And I'm like, that's cute and all, but I don't, like, make you happy. Yep. Like, make you proud of you. That's the big thing that I'm into lately, is making me proud of me. Today I just took my 11th month shower, cold showers. I've no hot showers, no lukewarm showers. Next month I'm 1 year into cold showers, and every time I shower, I make myself proud of myself.
Oh man, can we talk about this?
I'd love to.
Okay, so I'm a big believer in this, right? Mm-hmm. And I went through this whole Wim Hof thing for like a year, right?
Yeah,
Like I did the retentions, I did awesome. All that, and like I thought it was going to change my life in a profound way, and mm-hmm. it did, but not the way that I thought it would, because it never works out that way, right?
Yep.
It never works out that
way. What you expect. Yeah,
but exactly. With the retention, exactly. Yep. With the retention, and I had to let go of that too, right? Uh-huh. Like, this isn't going to give me what I'm looking for, but it's going to give me something,
mm-hmm.
right? And so with the retentions and with the cold showers, my big takeaway was like, oh, I'm getting comfortable being uncomfortable, and this might be the first time in my life where I'm comfortable, and I'm purposefully doing it. I'm putting myself in the way of harm, which isn't really harm.
Nope.
You know, nobody's died holding their breath, and nobody's died in a cold shower. Mm-hmm. But it's getting in the way of harm and going like, you know, the rest of my day is easy.
Exactly. You know?
I've done the hard shit.
You got your head up. You're very strong. You already know that you're kind of in my own head. I know I'm doing something that others wouldn't have the mental strength to do. And that just makes me stronger feeling then too.
Yeah.
I initially did it. I'm very heady. And I initially did it simply
That's come
because,
up a couple times.
Yeah, I am a very heady person. And I initially did it simply because of the fact that I had seen something, knowing that skin is the largest organ that we have in our body, and knowing about how if I put hot water on hair, that color goes out real quick. So that pores are open. So hot water on my skin, my pores are open. And in Las Vegas, the chemicals in the water are intense. Mm. And so I got heady, and I didn't want all that chemical in my body from that. So I was like, okay, I got to do cold showers. The thing I gained the most is the belief in myself that I didn't even know I was going to gain. I have a lot of plants in my house, and some of them are very large plants, and I would soak them in plastic trays. And then when I would lift the plastic trays up later to empty them, I'd always, because they're very flimsy, mm-hmm. I'd spill half the water on the way to the sink, and then I'd spill the other half, like, right as soon as I get to the sink, just about.
Right.
And I got annoyed by that, and about 3 months into the cold showers, I told myself before I was going to do it, I'm like, you know what, dude? Today, you're not going to spill it at all. You're going to calmly pick this thing up. You're going to calmly walk into the sink. You're going to calmly pour 100% of it into the sink. I did it no problem, and I've not spilled ever since. So it made me realize the belief I have in me now is so different. A lot of us didn't grow up in like the most comfortable households at times. And a lot of the voices in my head from my youth always have been in my head. I'm so scared to fail here or mess up there or F up that or stupid this or dumb that, all the things. And I have so much more, like all of those voices are gone. I have just pure voice confidence in myself. I heard myself in Amsterdam the other day. I was helping my buddy. He rented a boat, and we were going through the canals, and he was driving the boat, and I was helping the front. And when we got back to dock the boat, they're all worried if I was, and I hear myself a lot, oh, I got this, guys, I got this, I got this. And I'm like, so cool. Like, I really, like, and I was hearing myself. I'm like, dude, this is so cool. You believe in yourself so much right now. And I believe myself to the point to where, and trying to put myself in uncomfortable positions. The other day, I was really hungry and feeling hunger. I was like, you know what? Why have you not done a fast yet, bro? You need to do a fast. So I told myself just the other day, at the end of this month, I'm going to start a fast. So hopefully then I can line it up to where on the 3rd of July, when I have 1 year cold showers, I'll hopefully finish my 7 or 10 day fast. So I have experienced that, because I'm very big into trying to exercise my brain as much as I can and to maximize. I mean, I intentionally had an addiction to drugs for like a year and a half, to opiates. I let my friends know, I'm going to have an intentional addiction to this because I see no side effects. I want to see what this brings me. If I go bad, please let me know. And I give you all the right to let me know. They didn't see anything. I experienced constipation for the first time. And I was like, this is not fun to me at all. I thought constipation would be fine, but no, it was not a cool feeling. And I started thinking, I'm too vain. If it doesn't come out of there, it's going to come out of my skin. So I decided to stop it, or slow down for a little while at least. And I'm no longer into any of those things today. But like, I had a good, like...
Oh, hold on. I want to explore that a little bit. So what was the... I guess I come back to that. Why? Like, why would you like...
Intend to do that? I did it... full disclosure, basically, we're at a hair event, and a friend's wife had children, and so then they had some lower tabs, and I took 1.5, I remember, and I was like, wow, I'm so talkative, I'm so, like, energy-filled, I just feel like I'm making myself laugh so much.
I think I'm the funniest guy in the
world. Yeah, I'm loving me right now. I was really sincerely loving myself at that moment, and I don't recall feeling like such a love for myself before that. And I was like, this is awesome. And so
fucking dragon.
Yeah. And so then I'm like, okay, I did that 3 days in a row, and that was awesome. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to try this. So I found some in Vegas when I got home and did it. And I mean, it was Superman in so many ways, like very little negative side effects for me. And I asked plenty of my clients that were into those kind of things, what kind of side effects. And then one of my clients that took like 25 to 40 pills a day, told me about constipation being one of the things. And I'm like, I'm so regular, I wouldn't mind a little constipation in my life. And then I felt it, and I was like, nope, I won't. I don't like this. And it still didn't stop me. It were basically, I had two
tempered,
like, passed out moments. I passed out twice from it. And that was, and the last one was with Tekashi and DJ. I wake up to them slapping me in my face.
Like, bro,
wake up. And that was the week, and then Michael Jackson had passed too. So that was a big like eye opener to me. Like, dude, chill out. So that stopped me.
And then that was it? Like,
I'm a cold turkey. I'm a cold turkey kind of guy. Like, I smoked cigarettes for like 25 years, and I knew, especially living in Las Vegas, I was going to have to stop everything to stop smoking cigarettes, because you can just go to the bathroom and get one cigarette, no problem. You know what I mean? You don't have to buy a whole pack. And if you're a cigarette smoker, you know that deal of not buying a pack. And yet you could be smoking cigarettes for like a year, never buy a pack. Those type of people. I didn't want to be that person. So I stopped. I'm a regular cannabis smoker. I stopped smoking weed. I stopped taking any kind of mind-altering things other than like caffeine. Mm-hmm. Caffeine was the only thing that I would allow in my system for like 10 months. And then I felt like, okay, cool. Drinking is definitely the biggest gateway drug for me. So I thought, okay, cool. Now I can finally have a drink. And I had a drink, the first drink. I really wanted a cigarette, but I made it through that first night, and then I never had any urge. I went to Coachella during that 10-month period.
I went to Coachella.
Didn't do anything other than coffee and Red Bull. And the year before, I did like everything you could think of, like a lot of it. So, I have I can be very off the rails, but I'm a very disciplined human overall.
You're a very disciplined off the rail guy.
Yeah, it's a very interesting concept, but yeah, I can be.
Yeah, I'm terrified of opioids. Terrified.
Yeah.
But I want to be a junkie. Everything inside of me wants to be a junkie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I know what to stay away from. I had a realization a couple years ago that like, more than like wanting to be a junkie, like I want to take every opportunity to fuck up my life, you know? And like, and I've had to have like long, heady conversations about like, why do I want to fuck my life up right here?
Yeah.
Like your life is so good. And then, but I think it comes down to, we're talking about value. I think it's like, what do I deserve? You know, what kind of value do I have in my life? You know, and I know what I have and I love my life, but like imposter syndrome, it comes back to like, do I deserve this life? Mm-hmm. You know, I struggle with that. I mean, still to this day, like if you're being honest with me, and I'm not saying that you're not, but like, I've never found a way to get past that. I've never gotten a way to get past like the imposter syndrome, even though like I've got to do some really cool shit in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, those conversations are still there. I have a much better conversation with that conversation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it never leaves me.
I mean, I could definitely snap into it in a second for sure. Mm-hmm. As it were there in my life for so long. Fortunately, it's just, it's not on my main screen anymore. Mm-hmm. It's, I've had to scroll and scroll and scroll like to find it now.
Yeah.
Where now confidence analogy. In me and that's the thing. I've just simply, again, through the music festivals, become comfortable with myself. Knowing that I do everything with happiness, passion, and love, and all I'm trying to do is just make the world a better place around me.
I love that.
What you do.
Thank you, buddy.
You do.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate
it. Sure, for sure. I was blown away by watching you in Chicago because I saw you, was it the Harebrained
Teaching.
Yep. It was the Harebrained Teaching, yeah. And I got to watch you there, and I go, man, like, just the way that you not just executed the haircut, but was able to explain it, which to me also is just a whole different level, too.
Thank
like
you.
Like, I'm not even a hair cutter, but I kind of, like, I got it. Like, you were talking about, you know, the noon sectioning mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and I go, okay, I get that. Yep. I get that. And it was such a great, I don't know, is that your wording, the nooning stuff?
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant because I got it. I got it, and especially like to see to watch you do it visually and then to say it, I go, oh, that makes total sense to me.
So when I was I was a partner in a hair care line for like 7 years, and so I had to deal with a lot of distributor meetings and all this and that, and to talk to sales reps and distributors and talk to them about my cutting method and watching them. And be like, oh my gosh, I think I can cut hair. Like I saw so many,
and that's the good and bad of it, right? You're like, I'm so empowering and make this so easy that you're gonna cut hair now too. And had all the salespeople doing it. I'm mm-hmm. sure you did.
And that's the thing. Like that's the first step. If you mm-hmm. believe you can,
yep.
It's like I did a video on Instagram where I put a comb on my girlfriend's head and had her cross her legs and uncross her legs and cross her legs and uncross her legs, and the comb didn't fall off. The comb just sat there. Everyone said there's so many people that were like, it's because she's a yoga girl. She's got a horrible back, honestly. And she must be so yogaed out and she's just this and that. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, it's because if you believe the legs crossed are going to make it crooked, it's probably going to make it crooked. That's message of life. It's that simple. Like I know that crossing the legs is not going to make it crooked. I know crossing legs is going to make it hard to go up and down, not side to side. It's a whole different thing. And I mean, I could literally do it with my phone with not touching anything. Here's my phone right here. Cross legs. You know what I'm saying there?
Sorry, I got this happened there, but. Oh, no. I hope you got the visual there. Yeah,
exactly.
That was so good.
It's such a goofy thing that I think so much of us just listen to what's been said.
Correct.
And just reiterate it. Stay outside, think outside the box. I don't subscribe to thinking outside the box at all. I think the box is a very safe place.
Correct.
The box has a floor that's a consistent level that we don't need to worry about tripping ourselves on. The box has walls that gives boundaries. Boundaries are very important in every aspect of life. Boxes have roofs that protect you from the weather. I live in Las Vegas. If I didn't have a roof, I'd be a lot dark. It'd be awesome to be that dark, but I'd probably have skin cancer. So I strongly believe in thinking inside the box. I don't subscribe to time is money. I think that's a kind of a gross thought personally. I think that we all, trigger warning, I think we all should have learned from George Floyd when he said, I can't breathe. He didn't say, I can't make money. Breath, number one most important thing we have. Breath gives us time. Time gives us the ability to laugh, to love, to dance, to do so many things long before money has anything to do with it. Money's so low on the totem pole. Mm-hmm. And if you're focusing on money, you're missing out on so many awesome, beautiful things in this earth, I think. So to me, the mindset is such a massive thing on how you're just going to be one way or the other and how you're going to accept things or push things away. And I'm not into pushing things in a way at all. I try to be like water as much as possible. I learned whilst being on acid one time in the pool. Sorry, but honestly, water is amazing, especially in a pool, because it just hugs and loves every little bit of you and forms to you. It doesn't push you away as long as it's not a river or an ocean. Right. It doesn't push you away no matter what size you are, what color you are, what religion you are, what gender you are, all the things. It just loves you. And that's my mentor to me in my brain to try to be to humans, to just accept and love all of them like water does.
That's very cool.
That is very cool, bro.
Thank you.
That's very cool.
No, no, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Sorry. Sorry, Tony. That was for Tony,
not for Ira.
It was for Ira, but I just wanted Tony to know that I can push the buttons and I know how to control this now, Tony.
He just stepped up for you, bro. He just stepped up for you. Oh, my God. That's amazing, man.
Thank you.
I'm intrigued by you.
I appreciate that. I'm an interesting dude. I mean, from the beginning, I was born February 29th.
Oh, get out! Really?
Yeah.
Did you? There's
so only six.
Yeah.
It's only
six. I'm pretty tall for me. That's why I don't have short man complex.
He's only six.
Well, you're 6'5". Why would you have short man?
I mean, exactly. I'm certainly not 6'5". Almost the opposite of that.
And 6 years old. Look what this guy's done.
There's a woman in Guinness Book of World Record who had three kids and all born on February 29th.
Whoa.
All 4 years apart. Isn't that wild?
Wow.
I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a good story nonetheless.
Yeah. Pretty impressive, if so.
Hey, going back to your to watch you work and to watch what you do and to say that you don't think outside the box, I don't know, your box must be huge. because the stuff that you're producing and the stuff that you're putting out there isn't what I would consider inside the box.
I think so many people are outside the box, we don't know what is inside the box.
Expand.
You know what I mean? The box, I think that in some ways, I'm a very skeptical human being. Let me start with saying that. And I think some of the whole things of thinking outside of the box is to get us outside of our own brains. And it's not healthy. If the more we listen to outside things, the less we're listening to ourselves. This is a box. Mm. And only I know what's best for me when it comes down to my feelings, my gut, and what I know what's going to be best for me at this moment and what's going to be best for me tomorrow. Only I can know that. No one else is going to tell me what that is. And I think we're so trained to allow to listen to others and have them tell you what to do. And it's just not my comfort zone at all. And that's one of the reasons I told Chris I have such a hard time with mandatory dress codes. Because I'm just even to that. Like I had one time when I was still owner of the hair care company, I went and did a thing and someone complained about my outfit. And I was like, you're going to shame me? In my outfit, that's not a very cool thing to do. Like, this is what makes me feel good. I don't know why you'd be shaming me in my outfit, because I turned into the modern day usage of words there, basically, to be like, that's not a cool thing to pick on me for my clothes. Like, this is what makes me feel good. What does that, my clothes have anything to do with the class I just shared with you?
Like, or them.
Or them. Yes, exactly.
Or them.
Yeah, however it may be. Like, I'm just, I do have, and I understand, say, for the event, that you want to keep a clean thing, a certain thing, that I can respect and I can understand. But outside of that, to just simply complain about the way I was dressed, I mean, they thought I was too casual. I had shorts on with slide or Crocs, as I always do, and like a jersey. I had a jet, like a sports coat kind of thing. It was camo, but I had a sports coat kind of thing, but it was too casual for the Midwest for them. And they felt that I should be more dressed up. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm just not that guy. Like, I didn't give you the same class as that guy either. Yep. So can't you appreciate the difference?
Right.
And I think that's becoming comfortable with you.
Yeah.
And that's where I mean, you've probably seen on his page, like when he goes out and does his classes, the staff literally dresses up like Ira, which is
really
unbelievable.
Cute.
And I'm like, look at this. This is, and they so embrace who he is because he's embraced who he is. And I think that's also what resonates out. And we need more people like that are comfortable in their own skin. That's why I say I think authenticity, I think transparency, I think that human connection is so huge. And that's, for me, relationships are so important, and how you treat people, how you resonate that out into the world. And sometimes you got to do it before other people do it. You know, you can't wait and go, I want respect. You got to give respect. You got to give humility. You got to give before you're going to get, in my opinion. And I think that the people that have done really well with that have done personal growth. You know, that's a huge thing. And what we do, especially being artists, is I think you always got to look, you always got to be happy with what you see at the end of the day. And if not, you got to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's super important. And you can hear that in you know, his story and what he's talking about is those transitions and those growth developments, I think are huge. And I think the idea that we can talk about that openly is also a big thing, because I think for a long time it was
all kinds of people do all kinds of things.
Correct.
I'm not. There's nothing that I do that I'm ashamed about. There's nothing I do that's in secret. I'm such a I'm such a glass bowl with no corners. I'm so transparent overall. It's uncomfortable for me to even try to keep a secret.
I get that.
It's just...
That's got me in trouble, too.
Yeah, I'm a terrible liar as well. Like, yeah. You can tell definitely if I'm, like, bullshitting you. Yeah. Which I don't really bullshit.
Yeah, and the only reason I would try to keep a secret is if it's someone else's information.
Right. Exactly.
Then I can keep quiet. But
no, I'm just, with you. Yeah, I'm with you.
If it's my own stuff, I'm not bothered. Like, I have nothing that I do that I'm ashamed about. Why would I do something that I'm ashamed about? To me, it makes no sense. Because I still have to live with me. So I don't do things that make me... I don't do things in the dark or do things, like, secretively. It's not... I had a couple years ago where I was in a situation and I was thinking about being the past me a little bit. I was not always the best boyfriend in my past life. And I was an opportunist a lot. And I could feel that there was an opportunity in front of me. And I started thinking about things. And I was like, you know what? I started thinking about it all through. And I was like, you know what? You're not going to do this because you don't want to be a butt guy. I don't want anyone to say, Iyer's a really nice guy, but.
But.
And I'm very comfortable to say today I'm positive. There's nothing that someone could say a butt thing. I mean, maybe he's late sometimes.
Hey, you made it back from Amsterdam.
Yeah. That'd
be I was fucking, proud of him for that. I mean, you made, so thing. I should have known he was going to be in the, he was ready. He was here. He's on.
He's ready.
Yeah. I saw him in the back room. He's killing me. He's ready.
I can't think of too many negative things. No. That people could really put on me with intention. I'm a very intentional person to make sure that I want just to be very comfortable, little waves around me, nothing aggressive, no tides, nothing like that, and try to just keep a consistent pace. And that's the one thing that was quite a compliment to me coming from Sam. I've known Sam Vila since I was 18, 19, and... when we got to see each other in Premiere in California there, it was such a great compliment from him saying how proud he is of me, seeing my growth, and he said that he feels that it's because of my consistency of being me as per why I'm in this place that I'm in today. And it was such a great compliment to me because that's the thing that, even though I had an imposter thing for so long, I always modestly saying I always liked myself, but I was concerned with not being the technically sound haircutter that I wanted to be.
Right.
So it wasn't anything against me. It was more that, you know, cutting hair next to DJ can be very intimidating.
Correct.
Very intimidating. He's very, very good.
Bring a seatbelt and know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
And I remember
you ever feel like
past,
he's peering at you?
Yeah. And I can remember in the past, like I could feel like heat build up and I could feel my own voice inside. And, and to have that turnaround to a couple years later, then have Tracy ask me to cut in a room with her, and she did like four haircuts, and I did one haircut because I enjoyed it. I was like, I took for like 3.5-4 hours to cut it because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun to cut next to Tracy and feel confident, to not feel afraid, to feel like I deserve to be next to Tracy cutting hair. It was a very big moment for me, and I'm such a emotional type of human being in that direction that I feel those things and go through the whole thought in my head. I'm like, this is awesome, dude. You finally are getting to a better place. You're finally growing up and becoming an adult in this game. I think kids are awesome and I love being, I am a child in a lot of ways.
Yeah, we've seen your Crocs.
Thank you. I was hoping you were going to say my Crocs. Thank you. But
that there's an R in that word.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, dang, bro.
It's a full-size R.
That's awesome. Anyway, made in the Philippines. Anyway, no shame in my game. But, it's just one of those things that... just becoming comfortable with yourself just makes it so much easier. Like now I enjoy me. And funny enough, I had a time maybe a year or so ago. I remember I went outside. I was by myself at a hotel at a show or not a show, like a class. And at the hotel by myself, went out, did my smoking, came back in. And some reason I opened up my reels and I spent like 25, 30 minutes watching my reels. I started crying because I was like, dude, if I didn't know me, I would love me. I'd be like, oh, I got to follow this guy. I want to meet that guy. And it was like such a moment for me of like realizing and having like an outer look of things. I'm like, oh, this is so cool, dude. Like, you're a pretty good guy. And especially then knowing like all the things that I do to try to evolve myself to get stronger and be a better human. I I have a lot of love for me nowadays. And it's a big thing that I beg of people. Find ways to make themselves proud of themselves. Do at least one thing every day that makes you proud of you. Mm-hmm. Write it down, journal it. After 30 days of doing that, read it all. You will be a changed person. You will not be the same person that you felt like you were before. You're going to love and appreciate and respect yourself so much more. And respecting yourself is huge. I'm so sensitive to this nowadays. In Amsterdam, there was one of our friends' wives got, she wasn't well for different things. And I was offering to try to help her with different things. And she just kept turning it down. And I was like, oh my gosh. She needs to love herself. This poor girl, she doesn't love herself. Like I'm asking to help her, and she's not accepting because she just doesn't feel she's worthy of it somehow. I could tell. There's a deep-rooted, she doesn't feel she's worthy. And that's a sad, sad thing to see in some human when you can tell that they are of mind that they're not worthy. It's a tough thing.
That's amazing. I'm going to, as we wrap these things up, I'm going to tell you that I'm stealing one of your mantras as my own. And that's like, I don't want to be the butt guy.
It's awesome. I love
it. Thank you. I like that very, very much. For me, it's like this just happened to me a couple months ago, and I had to process a little bit. But, you know, someone's like, dude, you're just being phony. You're being fake or whatever. And I kind of had to process that. And like, although like I wasn't hurt by it necessarily, but I had to process through it. And I go like, and what I came to is that, you know, my goal in life is to always seek peace. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever situation that I'm in, I'm seeking peace. And if that makes me phony, first off, I've never been called fake or phony from somebody who wasn't angry. That's the first thing. But in my process of seeking peace, if that's how I come across, I'm okay with that.
Of course. You know? That's their issue, not yours.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's kind of, but you still have to process that shit, which is, by the way, half the reasons why I don't read the comments on our posts and stuff like that. Cause I don't know, you know, I don't know what's ugly. And I don't want to put that there. Like, again, in my process of seeking peace, like I don't want to put ugly about what I'm doing or who I am or not who I am. Cause nobody knows that, but what I'm doing, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like I don't even want to expose myself to that in a weird way. You know, I guess the ostrich with the head in the sand is mm-hmm. my approach to life. But again, my only goal is to seek peace. You know,
peace is great.
Ira and Chris, first off, thank you very much for once again, bringing a legend onto the podcast. I appreciate you. I appreciate you, Chris, more than, you know, you know,
I appreciate you, Chris, too.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate for real. You.
And for the stuff that you're doing for the industry, you know, the who else brings 40 fucking studs up with them? You know, like it's amazing, you know, and to be in a position, it's very cool, Chris, because to be in a position to where like, I'm just going to host this thing and let you guys be fucking awesome is amazing, you know, and that's, and talk about like moving the ego aside.
It's quite a awesome flex. When
yeah.
it comes down
oh,
to
you
it.
Know,
it's
yeah, that's awesome. You, you nailed it.
Yeah.
It's you nailed
awesome
it.
Awesome flex.
You know,
and that, flex has to come with comfort of mind. If you don't have comfort of mind, you have to go up there and show everything to flex that way. When I saw him not go up there, I gained so much respect because I'm like, okay, I see what this guy's about. It's not about the him thing whatsoever. Mm-mm. Like otherwise he'd be up there. So to me, that was an amazing thing to see. And that what made me even more like into doing things with you guys because I see what the leader is like.
Yeah.
I'm a strong believer. Attitude is the reflection of leadership.
That's true.
And that's a good leader right there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. One day when I'm not doing podcasts, I'm just going to go sit in the back room and watch you guys work.
It's amazing how many people come in the back room and hang out. Cool. Somehow they always find the CBC back room and they're like, why is it always so chill over here? Like,
what's the only one that's worthy to go to, Chris?
Oh, man, there's great stuff going on. I just think we try and keep a cool vibe and try and just keep a great love energy it. And do it the way we'd want to be done to us. And I think be a leader in the industry first and have no expectation of what you expect back. Just be the person you are.
All right. Shameless plug. I'll plug it, Chris. Like if you're ever at a hair show and you see CBC there, you absolutely positively must go. They're going to take you to church. You must be witness to the church, man. You've got to see it. It's an experience like none other. Nobody else in the industry is doing the stuff that Chris is doing. Nobody else is doing it in the industry with the people that Chris is doing it to. You know, again, it's not. There's brands involved, but it's not brand based. So you're seeing the raw, you're seeing the dog. You know, and it's a very, very cool experience. Whatever Chris is up to,
you're very kind, bro.
Well, dude, you know,
very true.
We're always there, man. You know, we're always there to watch and to witness. Ira, dude, thank you so much. I hope we can hug it out, and I hope to see you at a lot more hair shows, because this is where we get to see our friends. So
exactly.
I appreciate you spending your time with us and you know, coming down from Amsterdam and you know, other stuff. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah.
Yes, I can celebrate that. Mr. Ira, thank you very, very much for joining us on your day off.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, share it with friends, give us a rating, and drop a review. To listen to all the latest podcasts, please subscribe from your favorite podcast outlet. And to stay connected on and off the show, you can follow us at Hairdistry on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.